All right, who are you?
My name is Scott Guthrie. I'm a corporate vice president in the developer division at Microsoft, and I run the teams that build kind of the core .NET framework, ASP.NET, Silverlight, WPF, Visual Studio tools for doing web and client development, as well as IIS, our media server, and our commerce server products.
Excellent. So that's certainly a lot of stuff, but the big news today is Silverlight. So what's the announcement and what's the details?
Yeah, well, we basically have shipped Silverlight 2. And so, woo-hoo! Yeah, so it should be hopefully on the web, available for download at the same time this video is posted. And yeah, it's the final release of the product. We're shipping both Silverlight 2, the runtime support, as well as the Visual Studio and Expression tool support that goes with it. And so the Silverlight tool support for Visual Studio works with Expression or Visual Studio, Visual Web Developer Express Edition, which means that basically you can download free tools with Silverlight, and you know, all the core things you can do inside Visual Studio, you can now do with Silverlight and build great cross-browser, cross-platform RHEA applications.
Excellent. So we're going to be coding with you. So, why don't you start, open up Visual Studio and just show us some of the cool stuff that's either new in 2.0 or you think you always get questions on Silverlight.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, for people that haven't played with Silverlight before, you know, as I mentioned, you can download, if you already have Visual Studio 2008, you can download the Silverlight tool support for it, which is a separate add-on that adds everything else shown right here. If you don't have Visual Studio 2008 installed, you can download the free Visual Web Developer 2008 Express Edition, and then you can install the Silverlight tools on top of it. And so everything I'll show here inside Visual Studio, you can do for free using whatever set of tools you already have. And then I'm also going to be using Expression Blend and Expression Blend SP1 as part of this. So
now that's Blend 2, right?
Blend 2, yeah. Blend 2 SP1. Now, I'd forgotten that I was supposed to do a demo, so Dan kindly reminded me about 5 minutes ago. So we're going to, I don't have the world's most exciting demo ready here, but I'll go ahead and I'm going to create a new project we'll call Dan here. And what I've done is I've just selected the Silverlight project node and Silverlight application. There's a template for both VB and C# that you can use. When you do this, one of the things that it'll ask you is, you know, do you want to create a standalone Silverlight project? Which you certainly can do, and that basically gives you a project that builds a Silverlight app that you can copy onto any web server, whether it's running Windows or some other operating system, and you're good to go. Alternatively, what this gives you is also an option to add an ASP.NET web project as part of your solution, and that way you can basically have two projects in one solution, one for the server side, one for the client side. And anytime you're going to be doing networking or you want to integrate inside an ASP.NET site, that ends up being pretty useful. So right here you'll see, I'm actually going to go for the ASP.NET solution. You'll notice that you actually get a couple different project template options. You can do websites, you can do web application projects. You can also use the new MVC project template if you want to create an MVC-based project.
Excellent.
I'm going to name the server-side part dan.webserver. Hit OK. And Visual Studio is then going to go ahead and create a single solution for me that has both my client-side project as well as my server-side project, you know, all added into the solution ready for me to use. Basically here...
So it's just built for us.
Yeah, it's basically built the project for us. Again, this is the Dan Silverlight project here. There is the web server project on the bottom. You'll notice there's a test page that's been automatically added into the server-side project. You can use this as a starter to get going. We include both a HTML page as well as an ASP.NET page that has the test project. We also include a simple Silverlight.js file that has some magic in there. So if a machine hits your site that does not have Silverlight installed, you'll have a default install experience where the user will be prompted to click to install. And then it'll automatically refresh the page once it's installed. And so even if you have Firefox or Safari or IE, there's no reboots of the browser needed. The page will automatically refresh once Silverlight's installed and the Silverlight app will run.
So real quick on that note, for people that have built Silverlight 1 apps, has that Silverlight.js file changed?
Between some of the JS file has changed. We've done a couple things. We've done a couple updates of the JS file to add some more features for like the auto refresh of the page.
Okay.
And so I think the JS file, the JS file works with Silverlight 1 as well, but it's over time. Every couple months we add new features to it that just sort of handle more cases that we found that people have used. But generally, the deployment is pretty much similar to what it was with Silverlight 1 as of a couple months ago. What we found is we actually changed how the Silverlight 1 deployer works from when it originally shipped. About 6 months into it, we kind of discovered that based on kind of what people were looking for from a usability perspective, some of the things that we'd done, people found confusing as to what did it automatically get updated. And so, there's and how EULAs were integrated into the page. So we worked through that, but it's a similar experience to what Silverlight 1 is as of a couple months ago.
Okay, cool.
So what I have here is sort of, I mentioned, kind of two projects, the client and the server. And right now, here is the client project, and you can see I have this thing called page.xaml opened. So Silverlight uses an XML file format called XAML to represent UI. It's basically declarative XML format, same as you would with a WPF desktop application. And what I can do is I can go ahead here, and you'll see I can create controls. So if I wanted to have something that called the button called push me, I could do that. And I could say, let's make this, 140, make the height 50. If I go ahead and run this now, this will compile my Silverlight application and load in the browser. Now I have a little push me button right here.
Excellent.
This little hover over. And if I wanted to, I could, let's say, add, call the stack panel. And I'll stick the button in there, and I'll stick a text block in there as well. And I'm going to give this text block a name. I'm just going to call it my message. I could set a font family, or in this case, let's just set a font size. And so we'll make this 20-point font. Let's just do a little margin of about 5 for these different items. And so what I'm doing here is I'm just putting two controls inside a stack panel. By default, the stack panel will just literally stack controls one on top of the other. And lastly, what I'm just going to do is wire up an event handler on my button. And to do that, I can say, let's handle a click. Mm-hmm. I can either type in the name of the event handler, or I can just say auto-create one for me in my markup. If I right-click there and say navigate to the event handler, you'll see this is the code behind file for my Silverlight app. And I can now go ahead and say my message.text is equal to I was pushed.
Awesome. So very familiar for .NET developers.
Yeah, so if you're familiar with ASP.NET, Windows Forms, WPF, the core concept here of event handlers, code behind, object model, all works the same. You'll notice here when I when I program against this text block control we added into the page, I have a full .NET-based object model. This is a subset of the full object model in WPF. Mm-hmm. So it's compatible, so I can take this exact same code, add it into a WPF desktop app, and it'll just work.
Excellent.
You'll notice here, standard stuff that we kind of take for granted often with .NET. Things like a rich set of namespaces. So I got collections, I have diagnostics, I/O, link, network, resources, security, text, threading,
And what are some of the new namespaces or classes that you've now added in Silverlight 2 that were, I guess, either on the bubble or things that you were thinking about and then you got feedback from customers to add?
Well, none of these namespaces were in Silverlight 1. So Silverlight 1 was just very basic video playing only, and you had to use JavaScript to program it. So Literally every .NET API and everything I'm doing actually right now is new in Silverlight 2. Big things that we added in Silverlight 2 are obviously controls. And so you'll notice here, we just pull up the toolbox. There's a bunch of built-in controls. So there's things like data grid, which we'll take a look at in just a second. There are, controls like calendars and date pickers and sliders and so on. What's nice is that every single control can be easily customized. And
right.
So, even though there's a lot of built-in controls, the controls aren't fixed with a look and feel. You can go in and tweak exactly how they look using our design tools or just using Markup Editor. And then the other thing that we announced today is a new Silverlight control toolkit. which, if you're familiar with like the ASP.NET AJAX control toolkit, it's logically equivalent except for Silverlight. We'll start out with over a dozen controls in the first release later this month, and basically every month or every other month we'll release yet more controls that get added to it. And so, the first set will include tree view, dock panel, wrap panels, more data controls, lots of higher level controls.
Sure.
That people want to be able to take advantage of. And, over time you'll just see it becomes a richer and richer surface to do, programming against.
Awesome. Very cool.
So, this simple case here, I got this button, I got this text block, we'll go ahead and hit run. And, now I have the button, click the button, I got I was pushed. Center it, but you get the idea in terms
sure.
of super simple kind of hello world like scenario there. In terms of kind of other controls and other scenarios, let's do a couple other ones here. Data access is one that I know a lot of people obviously probably do. We could add, for example, say a data grid onto the page, and we'll call this my grid, and if I wanted to, I could create another class here. Let's call it. What do you want to call it? Person.
Of course.
And so I could say public string name. I could say public and age.
And you're just using the new C#.
Yeah, this is
automatic properties.
This is the new automatic property support, and all the language features of both VB and C# you get to use inside Silverlight. That's enough for right now. And what I could do is my button click now, instead of just saying I was pushed, I could say let's do a for int I equals 0, I less than how many you want to create?
10. How's that?
10,000.
You're crazy.
Go big or go home, right? or you could say, let's just create like a collection here. So I could say collection of, people. And I could say people.add. I could say new person. And, we could say first name is equal to user. And then what I'll do is we'll just add in like the index here, right? And I could say last name equals foo. Or last name. I. And I could just say age is equal to I, guess. Okay, so basically I'm just looping through creating 10,000 people.
Sure.
And then, you remember that grid, I could basically set its item source equal to the people.
Excellent.
And
can you do that declaratively as well, or would I have to set data contacts or something for the?
Yeah, you can do declarative binding as well. This is going to go ahead and create whatever 10,000 users there. I actually don't have the I don't have the grid visible. One second here. Let me go back and set the height on this thing to be a little bit wider so that we can people can actually see it at home. So this would be like 300. We'll say width is equal to 300 as well. And let's just do 100 for right now. Make sure I get that right. Okay. So anyways, now we'll go ahead and run this, and hit push.
Awesome.
And basically we get all those users automatically added in. And you'll notice here you can do things like reordering of tabs, of the columns automatically.
Okay.
These are editable, so for example, if you made your collection of type, what's called observable collection, you can go ahead and detect the changes back, and so you'll get events when someone actually manipulates it through the UI.
Sure.
And so as the next step, we could actually just very easily add, we could easily go ahead and add like a web service into our server project, and I could do that using new Silverlight WCF service that we can add here, and so we'll call it Friends. And what we'll do is, rather than have this person class be on the client side, I'm just going to move this into my server class here, like so.
Okay.
And we'll add a method called getFriends string username. And let's basically just say return a list of persons. And let's just take this logic here, which is populating it, and embed it instead on the server.
Mm-hmm.
And just return people like so. So basically all I'm doing is, on the server side now, imagine I was hitting a database or going in some sort of social networking graph.
Right.
Constructing this, and then I'm basically just returning it as, as part of this WCF web service. And now, what I should be able to do here is, while server side is working, client side's working on the client side, let's add a web service reference. And so I could basically discover this friend service that's in my solution. There's that friends contract in operation. I'm going to store this inside the Scott Goo namespace. And this will go ahead and create a client-side proxy for me. It's going to use WCF REST or web services across the wire. We also support REST.
Mm-hmm.
You can just do raw HTTP or network sockets. And now I can say scottgoo.friendsclient. So I could say friends is equal to new. And basically just create this proxy client.
Right.
And I could then basically use an async pattern. So I could say I'm going to call getFriends as the method, but I'm going to basically do it asynchronously. So rather than block on the UI, I'm going to say getFriends completed. I'm going to wire up an event handler down here, and then I'll just say friends.getFriendsAsync and pass in Scott Goo as the user. And so this is just basically when I click the button, going off to the web server.
Background thread.
This will basically post and then return immediately.
Okay.
And then the way this particular async pattern works, you can have it execute on a background thread. So we do support threading, but basically this will actually complete on the UI thread right now.
Okay.
And what that means is inside the completed event handler, I can say e.result, which is going to be a list of those friends, and I should just be able to say now my grid.itemSource is equal to the result, like that.
Cool.
And now cool. When I run it, push the button, we go off to the server, returns the data, populate it inside
awesome.
The grid, and I still get all the editing features, deleting features, and resorting features. And so this is sort of now a very basic data entry app where obviously I could now go into the server side and replace that implementation where I'm just statically creating stuff by going into the database. I could use link to SQL or link to entities in order to retrieve the data. Now I have basic data reporting built into my app. Again, as the users change things inside, the grid, it's going to actually push it into that collection that I bound against it.
Mm-hmm.
And so likewise, I could write a little bit of code and have like a save button on the client so that when I click the save button, I could batch up the changes, call another web service to persist it in the back end.
So you see Ajax applications doing this today, but is this sort of like now the preferred way? Where, let's just say maybe those were like Ticketmaster tickets or something where you wanted to have a real-time view of data mm-hmm. as it's updating where people were either using ASP.NET Ajax to do those sort of updates. Or where do you see sort of like different kinds of applications you can build in that model?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I think often as people always ask, like, what does this replace or how does this fit in? I don't view this so much as replacing things per se, more so as... A, complementing what you already have, and for certain types of scenarios, especially very, I'd say, user-intensive applications, having kind of a control model like we do with Silverlight, and having kind of these rich set of controls, and the ability to run .NET on the client side means that you can go a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're doing, standard basic Ajax-like support, where you're doing, lightweight data entry, you know, I think that still makes sense to be done with Ajax. They're often the locus of controls on the server side, and you're just using Ajax to basically provide smoother navigation and UI.
Right.
And so, you know, having a add to cart button on side an existing shopping cart page, that doesn't really, that might be overkill to do it with Silverlight. You know, having said that, if you're doing much richer data entry, or you want to do data analysis on top of user data, or, you know, call center in terms of, you know, handling, you know, phone calls and things like that, mm-hmm. you know, I think you'll find that, that having Silverlight on the client side, having kind of this much richer .NET and richer controls model with live bindings, you know, suddenly means that a lot of scenarios that today would require a heck of a lot of JavaScript, and where you're having to build your own abstractions to handle two-way data binding and things like that.
Right.
You know, now those things can get a lot easier with Silverlight. And yeah, that's where I do think a lot of .NET developers will look to, for kind of richer RHEA solutions, you know, look to use Silverlight and add it into the tool chest. What's nice is, you know, you saw here in my project, this is just standard ASP.NET server project. So I can easily add any number of ASP.NET pages, whether they're MVC or web forms based. I can use it, Ajax throughout that site, whether it's ASP.NET Ajax or jQuery. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that integrates nicely on the server side. And then I can choose to have one or more Silverlight apps that are included as part of it. And you know, in this sample, I started with a blank project and created both. You can also take an existing ASP.NET project and just right-click and say add Silverlight. I think that's the way you do it. So you basically can, you know, easily add an existing Silverlight to an existing project as well. So you don't need to create a brand new project in order for this to work.
Okay. And you've been certainly been blogging a ton on Silverlight. Maybe not as much lately, yeah. But what are some of the common questions or things where, like, you're getting emails for tech support where people are just getting started with Silverlight, and, hey, here's some of the common gotchas that you should look at?
That's a good question. I think the biggest question that people often ask is, you know, a lot of times it's often around what controls are going to be there. And so, you know, what we try to do with Silverlight 2 is have a lot of the kind of the core controls that you kind of expect and want in the box. So, you know, for example, one of the controls that was missing from the beta that a lot of people asked for was a combo box. So if you want to do kind of a drop-down list, mm-hmm. you know, you can now Scott, or we can say Brian or something. And so if I wanted to, I could call this, you know, friends, and I could say, and we'll say width of 150. You know, and so we run this now. You know, we basically can pick our friend, and then you know, if we wanted to, we could use that to feed it in. So that's an example of a control that, you know, it's one of the things that everyone assumes is going to be in the product.
Right.
And we always assume, you know, plan to have it in the product, but it wasn't in the beta. And it's not the most complicated control in the world, but it's one of those things where if you have to build it from scratch, that's a pain.
Right.
You know, likewise, things like password text boxes or progress bars. You know, those are features that we added post-beta 2 that made it into the final release. Mm-hmm. And then you'll find with the Silverlight control toolkit, you know, things like tree views, wrap panels, dock panels, you know, and a whole bunch of other kind of less common controls, but in that kind of next set of, you know, pretty popular controls that you want to be able to take advantage of, you know, those will be built in as well.
Excellent.
And so, you know, hopefully over time, and, you know, as the months progress, you'll see more and more controls appear. And especially for any kind of data-intensive RHEA application, having a rich set of controls that you can just add onto the page, you know, ends up being sort of super useful. You know, this kind of scenario here of just having a drop-down list, a button, and a grid, you know, it's fairly basic, but once you know that you can file your project and create this, drop it on a web server, and anyone in the world can run it. And, you know, if someone hits it with a Mac from home, hey, it takes less than 10 seconds to install. You know, you hit it on an intranet, it takes less than 10 seconds to install. And, you know, once Silverlight's installed, then they just hit the page and it just works. know, that suddenly opens up a lot of possibilities where you can push code down to the client,
right?
Either for deployment reasons or for reach reasons. It was hard today.
And without having to debug on four different browsers or have to work through browser CSS.
Yeah, so this will work with Safari, it works with Firefox, it works with IE. We mostly work with Opera, and then it now works great with Chrome as well.
Okay.
So, you know, pretty much any browser that you know, out there, you know, we're trying to make sure we support.
Excellent. Now, some of the stuff for the non-designers that want to make their things pretty, and I see sort of like a very basic alternating. You had mentioned some of the things around skinning. Do you want to show, like, real quick how if a developer wants to break out Expression Blind and do, like, a quick control template to play with that, where do they get started?
Yeah, it was a good question. I mean, so if you look at a lot of our kind of core controls, one of the things that we tried to do for the final release, I kind of pushed this pretty hard, mainly because I suck as a designer, is to actually make things easier to design, you know, and also have out of the box a really good set of skins that are not necessarily super, super sexy, but have a nice, crisp, clean look and feel that you can use in 80% of apps without having to reskin.
Right.
So you'll notice here that we kind of have, you know, there's a slight bluish tint, but for the most part, these are fairly generic controls that you can imagine whether your background is red, blue, black, whatever, you know, it reasonably integrates with.
Sure.
And so, which is different than our previous with our betas. They didn't, you know, out of the box, they didn't look as pretty as we'd like, and you ended up having to want to tweak it, and then it would work. We're also going to ship a whole bunch of default skins, so some that'll be a little bit edgier and a little bit cooler.
Like a skin toolkit for somebody that, you know, just like gets
some
design.
The Silverlight Control Toolkit, we'll actually ship a steady set of skins for all of our built-in controls.
Oh, really?
And
excellent.
Means, you know, they all look, you know, so you use every, you know, eventually we'll have 100 controls. You know, all of them will have a skin that fits into that overall theme, excuse me. And then the other thing, obviously, is allow designers or developers to easily customize it themselves as well. And so if you have, for example, Blend 2 installed and you install the SP1 build that has support for Silverlight, you can right-click inside Visual Studio on a page and say, open the project inside Expression.
Okay.
And this will basically... Oops. I have the wrong build Expression installed. Apparently. If I did have Silverlight installed...
Too much dog food, I guess.
Yeah, if I did have the final release of Expression installed, you'd basically be able to open it up and... get a full WYSIWYG design view for that.
Okay.
And, you know, that gives you a bunch of feature support, including kind of the ability to, you know, go into any control and kind of customize the states and the skins for it.
Okay, cool.
Do you want to pause real quick and I can install SP1 and then we can show that?
Beautiful. Okay, so, cool. Last parts, I guess, is resources. Mm-hmm. So, what are some cool samples you've seen? Where should people get started?
Well, pretty much everything you need to get started you can find on www.silverlight.net. You can download Visual Web Developer Express, which is free, download the Silverlight tools, and away you go. You can download the Silverlight Blend 2, or the Expression Blend 2 Trial Edition, which is free for 30 days, and install SP1, and then you can do Silverlight development with that. And Silverlight.net has online video tutorials, forum system, blogging, you know, pretty much everything you need in order to get started with Silverlight. And then subscribe to my blog and others, and we'll have plenty of Silverlight content coming out over the next couple of weeks to get you going further.
Perfect. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, thanks.